Gospel reading from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. The word of the Lord.
This past week has not been the easiest on the schick budget. It started out when I took my car into the mechanic to get my tires rotated from winter to summer tires, and left the car, and after a couple hours got a call, and they said, "Yeah, Mr. Schick, there's a rip inside one of your tires. You're going to need new tires." So he said, "All right, whatever." So I went and bought some new tires, and, you know, a little more expensive, but not a big deal. The next day, my wife opened the door of our freezer, which we noticed hadn't been quite as cold as usual. Some of the ice cream was kind of not completely frozen, it's partially frozen. And when she opened it this time, she found in our ice container a lake. And neither of us are experts on fridges, but we thought that can't be right. So we did some research, and pretty soon I'm learning that to do repairs on our 13-year-old freezer would be just about as much to buy a new fridge and freezer. So, okay, we realize it's time to go buy a new fridge. New tires, new fridge, whatever, we can handle this. But we also noticed that our air conditioner hadn't been as cold as usual recently. And I'm no technician on air conditioners, but I thought, well, we better look at it. And I went out and I saw something that I thought, that's probably not good, because on the line leading from the AC unit to the wall was ice. And I called and explained that to the people, and they sent someone down to look at it, and they said, "Sure enough, it's time to replace your 1980s AC. As I preached this the first sermon, everyone came on, "I know, bad things always happen in threes." They at least did here. Well, as one of our members said, who saw my griping Facebook post earlier this week, he said, "Well, it's nice to have a job, isn't it, Pastor Paul?" And I said, "Yes, that's certainly true." So thank you all for letting me have a job. I hope I keep it for a while at least, because apparently we're going to need it. But as I think about all these broken things we need to pay for, there's part of me that wants to just ignore the problems, right? That's always part of the human condition, just ignoring problems maybe, or maybe get some duct tape and see what I could do with that. Because, you know, a new TV, travel, a nice meal, a new instrument, there are some things that are kind of fun to buy, but at least for me, AC units, tires, and freezers aren't on the, like, fantasy shopping list. But at the end of the day, what can you do with this kind of thing? If you're able to, you bite the bullet and you get these things fixed because it's your family's home. And, of course, part of being a good homeowner is you don't let your house fall apart and become unlivable. Truth be told, as much as I gripe and as much as I wish this wasn't the case this week with all these things breaking, there is also a healthy sense of pride that comes with keeping your home in good order and beautiful. I remember my wife and I spent a year in Egypt when I was on my pastoral internship, and in Egypt, if you went there, you would notice that their ideas about trash are not the same as ours. It's a pretty dirty place in terms of on the roads, lots of trash just thrown out on the street. It's not all the people's problem. A lot of it's because the government doesn't really have effective trash collection, and so it's basically a very polluted and dirty place. When you first go there, you're kind of shocked by it. By the end, the trash almost becomes your friend. You're so used to it, but it's a pretty dirty place. Also in Egypt, though, there's about 30 million people, and about 10% of the population are Christians, an old Christian community called the Coptic Christians. And in Egypt, there are certain areas of town which are pretty much Christian neighborhoods, certain streets, certain areas. And once in a while, after we lived there a while, we would get invited by some Christians to go and visit. And so we'd walk through these streets, and we noticed that they were quite a bit cleaner than the other streets. And this happened several times. We'd go to a Christian area, and it was quite clean. There wasn't really much trash on the ground. And we would, and I remember eventually talking to one of the Egyptian Christians and just saying, "Hey, we've noticed Christian neighborhoods are cleaner." And the person said, "Oh yeah, that's something we make a point to do in our community. We see keeping our home and our areas beautiful as part of our Christian witness." And I just thought, what a beautiful idea that part of Christianity isn't just sharing the gospel in words or even helping people who are hungry, but this idea of keeping the world beautiful as a sign of our Christian faith. Well, today we're celebrating a theme called Caretakers of Creation, and we're focusing on this idea that as Christians, our relationship to the world is one of caretakers. Or another way we might put it is that we are house sitters in this world for God. And so I'd like to think with you about what it might mean to be a house sitter for God. Psalm 24:1 says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, are the Lord's. You know, part of the basic premise of Christian faith is that we have to realize at some point that our lives are not completely our own, and that the world that surrounds us is not completely our own. As Psalm 24 says, God in effect claims ownership, claims true ownership over everything in this world, including us and including the world. To be sure, God has given us the keys to creation, meaning that for now we have a certain amount of authority and freedom to do what we want in the world, but it's like that old saying goes, with great power comes great responsibility. In the Genesis story, it puts it through a certain word. It says that God creates humans and gives them dominion over creation. And I'd like to think with you a minute on what dominion means. Dominion is a word that comes from the idea of royalty, right? Kings and queens had dominion over their kingdom. And of course, dominion does mean having authority over it. It means you get to choose what happens, just like kings and queens did back in the day. But of course, along with this authority, royalty also had the responsibility to protect and to not abuse their kingdoms. Kings who protected their kingdom and saw that it grew and was healthy were thought of as good kings. Kings who were reckless and made bad decisions and destroyed their kingdoms were not thought of as good kings. And of course, everyone knew back then too that when the kings were given their rule, there would be a service where they would recognize that even though they were rulers in this world, the true king of everything is God. And so when they ruled, they needed to rule in a way that was consistent with how God wanted them to exercise dominion. So there's that word dominion. It means authority, but it also means responsibility. And you know, likewise, we are expected as Christians to be mindful of the fact that God is the true owner of everything. So yes, the world is our home, and yes, we have dominion for now, but we have dominion in the way a house sitter has dominion. It's for a while, and God's going to return, and I think God's going to wonder if we kept our home in good repair, at least to the degree that each of us is able to. So what does it mean to keep the world in good repair as a house sitter for God? Well, I'd like to think of this in two different ways. The first way is that being a caretaker of creation has to do with taking care of people. The Bible says in many different ways that the most precious thing that God made was human beings. In the creation story, it talks about how God is creating different aspects of creation. You know, the stars and the lands and the waters and the animals. And each time he creates something, he steps back and looks at it and says, "It is good," right? So it has value. It's good. But when it comes to creating humans, God creates them, Adam and Eve, and then he steps back and it says that God says that this creation is very good. There's an extra word, very good, on this creation. And good, by the way, I don't think necessarily means morally good. We all know from living in the world that sometimes humans are moral, sometimes we're immoral. But I think in this story, good means valuable. Good means precious. The thing that God has made in human beings is very valuable. So When it comes to the Bible's witness about us as human beings, it wants to tell us that despite our flaws, God sees us as precious. And of course, that's why he dies for us, right? You don't die for people who you see as trash. You die for people who are precious. So maybe a basic principle we can draw from this kind of thinking is that as caretakers in creation, we need to not devalue what God values. Or to think about people, do not ever treat another human being like they don't matter. That's one of the basics of Christian faith. We all do it sometimes, right? We all do sometimes think about people as if they matter less. Most of us at one time or another demonize people who we disagree with. We come up with groups of people who are good and bad. Most of us have words like riffraff to describe certain kinds of people. But in truth, to devalue another human being is to, in a way, mock the cross of Christ, because every single person who we could devalue was someone who Jesus died for. And so really, there are no riffraff in the world. There's only precious people who God created. Well, not devaluing people is the negative way of describing our Christian calling. It's the do not way of describing it. But there's also a positive way to spin it on what it means to value people. And I think that's that we're called to find ways to affirm the value of people in society, especially people who are often devalued. A few examples of that. You know, in our society, increasingly so, the elderly often feel devalued because our culture values, you know, people who are beautiful and strong and still working and contributing economically and things like that. And old people can start to feel isolated. And I don't think it's any coincidence that in the Bible and in the church, there's always been a push to visit the elderly and the sick, and children too, because, you know, these people have value. Even if society says, oh, you have to be really productive to be valuable, the church wants to say, no, people have value no matter what situation they're in. Another example is that in most societies, the poor and the homeless kind of get knocked down a lot of times, right? We look at them and say they should work harder and maybe they're not as good. But that's why in the church we make a point of having ministries that reach out to people who are homeless and poor, because we want to acknowledge their humanity, that they're valuable in the eyes of God. One more group that I think maybe above all are demonized are people with criminal backgrounds, right? Often we look at people who've done criminal acts and we say, well, they deserve what they got and they need to suffer in this world. But we need to remember that even if they've done things that are wrong, these are people who God died for. These are people with value. And that's why the church has also had an emphasis, you know, visit the prisoners, care for those who are on the margins. That's why we support organizations like Ministry on the Margins that supports prisoners. Heart River Bridges of Hope supports kids who are coming out of YCC. It's part of our identity to affirm the value of people who sometimes society says do not have value. So that's one side of being a caretaker of creation. It's caring about people, and it's being able to say that nobody gets left out in God's love. We include everybody in that story. The other side I want to talk to you about being a caretaker of creation, being a house sitter, is something we don't always like to acknowledge, especially in this country as Christians, because it means a little extra work and responsibility. And that's that we are also called to be good caretakers of the creation itself. And by this I mean the natural world. Things like lands, things like plants and waters and animals. These are also things that God created with his own hands and said, this is good, this has value. And, you know, even though God welcomes us to use creation, to enjoy it, to prosper from it, you know, God never invites us to abuse creation. And I think sometimes, especially as Christians, we need to think about what it means to exercise healthy dominion, not just kind of, you know, careless dominion, but healthy dominion over creation. And it's true that being a caretaker of the natural world isn't always the easiest responsibility to accept. Sometimes it takes more time. You know, like recycling takes more time. I don't know if any of you recycle. We do in our home, and it's kind of a pain. And I've heard people sometimes say, well, I don't recycle. That's too much work. I don't have time. Well, sometimes we do things like this not because it's the quickest thing to do or the easiest thing to do. We do it because we're caring for the home that God gave us. We're doing it because we don't want God's animals to choke on trash. We don't want our great-great-grandchildren to live in hills of trash. We do things like this to care for the home that God gave us because we know it's part of our Christian responsibility. Sometimes people complain that sometimes taking care of the world cuts into profits. And it may sometimes be true. Sometimes doing the right thing cuts into profits. But we also have to remember that sometimes what's good for profits in the short term is not good for profits in the long term. If we overfish our waters, the fishing companies eventually have no fish to catch. And so there's an issue of sustainability and responsibility there. We actually had a wonderful speaker, Jerry Doan, and his wife, Renee, who spoke about their ranch. They're members of our congregation, and they were awarded an award recently for environmental stewardship of their land. And he talked about how they have a new way of moving their cattle, where they move them more often than farms traditionally have. And they've actually seen increased yields because they're thinking about being more environmentally sustainable. So I think in the long run, taking care of creation actually restores what we have to enjoy and make profits off of. It's smart and profitable in the long run. Well, I guess all this is just to say that God says creation is good, and that needs to mean something about the way we think about creation, the way we live in it, and the way we care about it. At the end of the day, I think what God wants in us as house sitters is to be good house sitters because this is our home in life. And God doesn't want us to have a junky home full of trash and hurting. God wants us to have a nice, beautiful, livable home. And when people are suffering or when creation is suffering, we're letting our house fall apart, just like I would be letting our house fall apart if I just ignored the air conditioner. And so today I invite you to ponder what it means to be a good home owner or a good home sitter in this world. How can you leave this world and leave the people in this world in better condition than you found them? Because you always remember that they really belong to God. How can, like that Egyptian community of Egyptian Christians, how can taking care of creation become a sign of the gospel that lives in our hearts? Amen.